take a seat. If I haven't met you already, my name's Jonathan, alongside Nathan and Tim, one of the pastors here. Love to see you. If you are a first-time visitor, very, very warm welcome to you. We're carrying on in a sermon series we started 2 weeks ago, two or so weeks ago, looking at the one another commands. And the verse for the year, if you haven't been for the last couple of weeks, is John 13, 34 to 35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that's the big, as Nathan described it last week, the big umbrella term, big umbrella thought for all this series as we look at the love one another sayings of the New Testament. So as we come to look at God's Word, let me read it and then I'll pray for us. So let's read. We're in Romans chapter 12, very short reading. Romans chapter 12 and 14, verses 14 to 16. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to 16. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. That's our God's word for us today. Let me pray for us as we begin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Enfield Town Community Church is your church. Thank you that you've been at work in this church for many years, and you still are. And we know that you want us to continue to be transformed into your likeness by your word. Father, please would you help us to listen keenly to your word this morning and listen so that we're wanting to obey it. Father, please change our hearts so that is the case. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin an observation about the local church. Now, just a reminder that when the New Testament talks about the local church, it isn't talking about the building, isn't talking about a service time, isn't talking about an institution like the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church. Rather, when the New Testament talks about the church, it's referring to the gathering of God's people. It's the gathering of God's people who's the church, as Christians gather together. So I heard a story of a family of Christians traveling on the car, and they were passing this Church of England building that had people going into it, as they were coming into the service. And one of the children in the back said, look, Daddy, there's the church going into the building. And that's right, isn't it? The church is, the New Testament, it says the church is the gathering of God's people. It's not a building, it's the people. And here's the observation I want to make about the local church, the local gathering of God's people. It's this. There is diversity in the gathering of God's people that is rarely found elsewhere. There's diversity in the gathering of God's people that's rarely found elsewhere. So diversity in age, in nationality, in ethnicity, in class, in educational background. There's a diversity, there's difference. Now, you might get some sort of diversity, maybe a football match or somewhere else, but in the football match, you don't normally interact with a huge amount of other people, whereas the gathering of God's people is the gathering of God's family, and we're meant to interact. And so if you have been attending church for many years, if you are a Christian, then perhaps you've probably got used to that diversity, and maybe you don't realize how unusual it is as you come here on a Sunday. However, if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, then one thing that may have struck you when you came into the building was the diversity of people that you don't normally see elsewhere. And if that's the case, I wonder what you made of that. I mean, this diversity is a beautiful God-given gift. So God made us diverse people to be united together under the Lord Jesus if we are Christians. However, that diversity does present challenges, doesn't it? And one of the big challenges is how a diverse group of people remains united And so one way, which it's not the Bible's way, is that we all become exactly the same, even though we might be diverse, we're just all the same, we're just homogenous, do all the things the same. But that's not what the Bible says. As the church, we are meant to be diverse and to remain diverse, but also to be united together. And there's a possibility in that situation, in a church, there's a possibility of tensions building up between groups of people. I say that, and it's nothing new, because it was happening in Romans. It was happening in the church in Rome. And 2 weeks ago, we began a sermon series called the One Another series, the sort of subtitle is Being Church Together, Being God's Gathered People Together. And the aim was to look at the One Another commands, and that they will challenge us to be church together. And today we're going to have a look at another command that speaks into this question of how a diverse group of people keep that diversity under the Lord Jesus, but remain united. And the command is this: live in harmony with one another. That's the command, live in harmony with one another. And harmony is a great goal, isn't it, for Enfield Town Community Church to pursue, don't you think? That's a really worthwhile goal to pursue. So let's see how God says we can pursue that harmony together. And there are two things that he said from verse 16. First, think the same gospel truths about others. Think the same gospel truths about others. And so Paul was writing to a church in Rome. He wasn't in Rome at the time, but he was writing to the Roman church. And cracks were beginning to appear between fellow Christians. Now, there are many groups today who don't like each other, but back in the first century AD, the greatest hostility was between Gentiles and Jews. So the Jews felt superior to the Gentiles because God had chosen them, and they looked down on what they would call dirty Gentiles who engaged in all sorts of wicked living, which God said you shouldn't do. And the Jews had a word that they used to describe Gentiles, and it was this: they called them dogs. And that was back in the first century AD. But the Gentiles, on the other hand, looked at the Jews and they hated them. The Jews exuded an air of superiority, and the Gentiles felt it. They saw the Jews as people who were a bit maybe stuck up and looked down on everyone else. So when Jews and Gentiles converted to Christianity, they found themselves worshipping Jesus in the same church. And even though they had become children of God, they still brought some of their attitudes, some of their sinful desires inside of them into the church. And that's why there were tensions in the church of Rome, in Rome Community Church. Some cracks were opening up between Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. And so Paul writes at Romans 12 and verses 9 to 16, and what he's doing, he's teaching his readers about how Christians should relate to one another when they gather together, how Christians who are different should relate to each other when they gather together. And as we listen into what Paul says to the church in Rome, those thousands of years ago, we can learn so much about what it means to be God's gathered church today here at Enfield. Because although 2,000 years have passed, the human heart hasn't really changed very much. We're still very sinful, very, very selfish. We love the people who are similar to us, and we put people at a distance who are different to us. And into a church that's fracturing along ethnic lines, Paul writes these words: live in harmony with one another. Now, Paul uses this word harmony elsewhere. It's a thinking word. It's not so much a musical word. It's a thinking word. And in other parts of the New Testament, Paul uses it to mean think the same as others, other Christians. But here in Romans 12, verse 16, there's a little bit of a twist on that. I think Paul is using it to mean think the same towards one another. As you go into, as the Jewish Christians, the Gentile Christians go into Rome Community Church, they are to think the same towards other Christians. But what did it mean for Jewish and Gentile Christians to do that, to think the same towards others? Well, the thinking the same doesn't mean that we all think the same way. And neither does it mean that we think the same on every single issue. It doesn't mean there's just one party line and you've got to think that way. It doesn't mean that. Rather, thinking the same towards others means thinking the same gospel truths apply to them as they apply to me. That's what it means. So those gospel truths are the ones that Paul wrote about in the first 11 chapters of his letter to Romans. So in Romans 1, God has been very clear, Paul's been very clear, and God through Paul, that God is angry with humanity for their godlessness and wickedness, for their rebellion against a loving creator who's created a world for them to live in. But they said, oh, we don't want you, God. We'll live our own way. And rightly so, he's angry with that. And that includes the Gentiles, but surprisingly, as Paul writes Romans, it includes the Jews as well, the Jews. And Paul goes on to say in chapter 3 that amongst Jews and Gentiles, there is no one righteous. No one is good enough for God. No one is in the right with God, not even one. Both groups have sinned and turned away. And there's no Jew or Gentile who seeks God. No one wants to know God. That's what he says in the beginning of Romans. Both Jew and Gentiles have turned away from God. And neither Jew or Gentiles have the right to feel spiritually superior because their rebellion against God has provoked his right anger. And one day, God says, I've set a day where I will judge people who've turned away from me, both Jew and Gentile. However, in chapter 3, there's a big burst of hope. And it says there is no difference between Jew and Gentile because both groups have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But it also says that both Jew and Gentile can be declared right, can be declared in relationship, right in relationship with God, if they trust Jesus' death on the cross to pay for their rebellion and to bring them back. So in summary, both Jews and Gentiles deserve God's judgment against their sin. However, both Jews and Gentiles have been brought into a right relationship with God through Jesus' sin-bearing death on the cross. And that's going to explode any desire to be to think differently about someone who's different from you in Rome Community Church. Because thinking the same towards one another, living in harmony, thinking the same would mean Christians in Rome Community Church remembering that those gospel truths apply to others who are different as much as they apply to them. It would mean remembering that all were equally deserving of judgment against their sin. There was no one special group in Rome Community Church that God was particularly pleased with. And it would mean remembering that they were all equally undeserving of the redemption Jesus achieved when he died on the cross, paying the price for the sins that we couldn't pay. So there was no place for a Jewish Christian to walk into a church building on a Sunday, see a Gentile Christian and look down on their noses at them. Instead, they were to think, this is the living in harmony, they were to think, well, this Gentile Christian deserved God's judgment as much as me. And this Gentile Christian was saved by Jesus as much as I'm saved by Jesus. Do you see how that, as we think gospel truths about each other, does it not see how that levels things? There's no ranking or hierarchy, it just levels things. We're both in deserving God's judgments, but both of us, Jew and Gentile Christians, are saved by Jesus. And here's how one Christian writer has summarized what Paul's commands to live in harmony means. They say this: Christians should display the same attitude towards all other people, whatever their social, ethnic, or economic status. Christians should display the same attitude towards all other people, whatever their social, ethnic, or economic status. I'm sure you've all either experienced or seen favoritism in families. Maybe you've been the favorite, maybe you haven't been the favorite. In families with two or more children, there always seems to be a favorite. And the parent seems always to favor one over the others. And that one child that gets all the praise, gets all the attention, and that one child seems to get away with everything. But Paul is saying that kind of favoritism doesn't exist with our Heavenly Father. God doesn't have favorite children. He doesn't rank his children. He doesn't split them into groups and say, well, and label them, I love you, I like you and I tolerate you. He doesn't do that because all of us have been brought into a right relationship through the Lord Jesus. And what was true of the church in Rome in the first century is true of the church of Enfield in the 21st century. And let's not be naive. As Enfield Town Community Church gathers on a Sunday morning, all of us will struggle to a certain degree with having the same gospel attitude to others who are different from us, don't we? I mean, let's be honest, we do, don't we? And the difference that led to tensions in the church in Rome was based on ethnicity, so Jewish Christians versus Gentile Christians. But Jewish Christians versus Gentile Christians isn't a big thing in churches today, is it really? However, they've been replaced by other groupings where, you know, tensions can develop, where splits can develop because people are different, both saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus, but different. So I can think of four groups, just generally, where tensions could develop in a church. It could develop along nationality lines. It could develop along ethnicity lines or class lines or maybe educational background lines. So, for example, when I meet a white, British, middle-class, university-educated, English-speaking Christian, it'll be easy for me to have the same gospel attitude towards them. Well, why is that? Well, because they are like me, and it's easier to relate and to understand each other if they are like you. But change their class or educational background or ethnicity, and that may make it more challenging. And of course, I would see them as a Christian, but maybe subconsciously, I don't know, subconsciously I'd think that I'm in the group which is slightly a bit more special to God. And that's the sinful heart, isn't it? That is wrong. That's what Jesus came in to bring an end to bring forgiveness for, but changing as well. On the other hand, we may have been experienced other Christians looking down on us and patronizing us because we are not exactly like them. Every church we go to normally has a dominant culture, doesn't it? And if we're not part of that dominant culture, we may feel slightly marginalized, not listened to. And we get angry with them because they've treated us this way, and so we may be tempted to, you know, despise them, maybe an attitude of, you know, reverse snobbery. And our Heavenly Father is challenging Enfield Town Community Church this morning. He wants us to mature as a church. So he's pushing us forward. No matter how well we're doing, we're not in a place where our Heavenly Father wants us to be. So he's pushing us, maybe pushing us into uncomfortable places. And so no matter which Christian you meet after the morning service, and I do encourage you to stick around because, you know, coming to church isn't like going to a concert where you just turn up and then drift away. Instead, it's like belonging to a family. And so if you just turned up to a family meal, ate the food and headed off, that wouldn't be exactly right. Please stick around. But no matter which Christian you meet after the morning service, you are to live in harmony with each other. You are to think the same gospel attitude towards them. So in your heads, and definitely not out loud because it looked really, really weird over Tinkoff, I encourage you to say four things to yourself as you look at that person. And it's the same, it's true of you and it's true of them. These are the four things. They deserve judgment, but they were saved by Jesus and loved by the Father, just like me. Those four things: deserve judgment, saved by Jesus, loved by the Father, just like me. And this is not going to be easy because it wouldn't have been easy for Jewish Christians in Rome Community Church to look a Gentile Christian in the eye and say those things, have that same gospel attitude. And it's not going to be easy for us either, because every single Christian who belongs to this church will find they will struggle at least with one other person. And usually that other person, not all the time, but usually that other person will be different from us in maybe one or two or three significant ways. So when you see that person who you find difficult, who is hard to relate to, who's your brother or sister in Christ, say those four things in your head: deserve judgment, but saved by Jesus, and loved by the Father, just like me. And those words are meant to level things down, so there's no in crowd or out crowd. It's meant to say, well, we are all God's family together, diverse, but united. Think the same gospel truths about other people. And second, our gospel thinking will change our living. So our gospel thinking will change our living. So as we look at other Christians and say to ourselves, deserve judgments, but saved by Jesus and loved by the Father just like me, then that gospel thinking will change us. If we really start thinking that about every Christian that we meet here, Enfield Town Community Church, that will change us. It will change the way that we live. Have a look at the rest of verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And one paraphrase of the Bible put this verse in quite a refreshing way. Don't be stuck up. Don't be stuck up. And as Christians, it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that that around here we're the pretty big deal. And when you think that, you start to grow and puff yourself up in pride, and you start to be stuck up. There'll be people that you want to talk to because they're big and flashy, they're important. And there'll be people who you don't want to talk to because they're not big, they're not flashy, they're not important. And proud or stuck-up people aren't willing to associate with people of low position. They're not willing to associate with people who are different or of ordinary person. Why would they? You know, people of low position have nothing of value to give proud Christians. They can't advance their career. There's no fame to be gained in knowing them. In fact, hanging out with people of low position can seriously damage your street cred. So why would Christians associate with people who are maybe difficult, who may be needy? Well, it's the gospel is the answer. What humbles proud Christians so that they're not stuck up is the gospel. And the gospel tells us that the Lord Jesus wasn't too proud to associate with people of low position. And the gospel tells us that the Lord Jesus was rich beyond all splendor. And spiritually speaking, he was like Bill Gates times by Elon Musk in terms of wealth. Yes, spiritual wealth. And in comparison, we were like the smelly, dirty tramp sitting on the concrete pavement begging for money. Spiritually speaking, we were like that. And despite living as royalty in heaven, the Lord Jesus chose to give it up, gave it all up, to step down into this grimy world to associate with poor, difficult, needy people like you and like me. Aren't we glad he did this? Aren't we glad that he wasn't too proud to stay in heaven, worshipped by the angels, and say, well, these people, they're only going to damage my street cred. They're only going to be needy and annoying. And he didn't do that. And so how can Christians be proud when they have a humble Savior like the Lord Jesus? How can that be the case? It can't be the case if we know Jesus, if we love Jesus, if we've been transformed by Jesus. That cannot be the case, brothers and sisters. How can one Christian look at another Christian and refuse to associate with them? It would like be like one tramp on the street saying, well, I'm not going to associate with that tramp. They smell a bit. You know, that's a crazy attitude, isn't it? We've forgotten who we are. And as we remember the shape of Jesus' life, our lives will slowly transform so they begin to match Jesus' life, so that we begin to become more bearing the family likeness of the Lord Jesus. And so the gospel teaches us to look at other Christians and not say, you're beneath me, but to say, deserve judgment like I did, saved by Jesus like I am, loved by the Father like I am, just like me. And if we truly take that to heart, the gospel message that Jesus, though he was rich beyond all splendor, stepped down to low, poor people like us and lost his life to save us, then that gospel message can, if we really take it to heart, can only kill pride, surely. We'll grow in humility so that we're willing to associate those people who are different to us, those people who have low positions, those people who, in the world's eyes, are nobodies. And in many ways, I see this happening at church. I've been around for 6 months. I see this happening at church. I see those who are young caring and looking after those who are older. I see people who are successful in their careers getting alongside those who are new to the country or in financial need. I see people befriending others who are difficult to love. And we praise God for that. That is the gospel in action at Enfield Town Community Church. We see that, don't we? Well, I see that. That's a privilege of being one of the pastors. I probably see a bit more than perhaps a member would see. And I see it, and we want to praise God for that. But I also hear stories of people feeling alone, of people not being accepted by others, people not spoken to, people's voices not being heard or spoken over, people feeling marginalized. And brothers and sisters, that shouldn't be the case, should it? And our Heavenly Father, even though it might be uncomfortable for us, is pushing us forwards by saying, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate people of low position. Don't be stuck up. Don't be up yourselves. And so if you look into Christian faith, then from the outside, it looks like everyone is one big happy family, doesn't it? And perhaps you're shocked at what I'm saying, that there are people who feel that way, marginalized, not feeling spoken to, not feeling welcomed. But the church, the gathering of God's people, isn't a museum of saints. You're not looking at perfect people in here. Rather, it's a hospital for sinners. The church is a hospital of sinners, not a museum for saints. And we shouldn't be surprised that even in Christians, there's a spiritual disease among us. And it's called sin. We've been forgiven as Christians, and we're trying to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's still there. And if you're looking into Christianity, a Christian is both simultaneously right with God, but still a sinner. And yet, just like a hospital, those people in church who love the Lord Jesus are longing to get better. And the great physician, the Lord Jesus, is helping us to get better as he convicts us of our sin, drives us to him for forgiveness and changing. And so we praise God for the successes where we see them. We praise God for where we see the Holy Spirit moving in us as people who are maybe successful in worldly terms are going towards those people who are low, of a low position. And yet our Heavenly Father wants us to push us forward. And associating with people who are different, associating with people who are of a low position, is going to cost us some of the things that we hold most dear in Great Britain. And it's these. It's time, it's money, and it's effort. And those are the things that we really long to keep a hold on, isn't it? Time, money, and effort. So what might it mean as we allow the gospel to transform our thinking so that we step out towards those people who are different? What's that going to look like? Here are some suggestions. It may mean not sitting in the same place we always sit, but instead looking for the person who is sitting on their own and going and sitting by them and talking to them. That is a huge deal for many people. Some people, in the church I used to belong to, there are people who would say, I never get sat next to you. And they wonder why that is. It may mean deliberately walking across the room during coffee time to talk with someone who is not easy to talk to. They're not fun. They're not gonna give you the happy thrills inside. Instead, it's going to be energy draining. And yet they're a brother or sister in Christ. It's going to be costly, but they are your sister or brother in Christ. It may mean opening our friendship groups to those who aren't like us. It may mean showing hospitality in ways that we're comfortable with in COVID times. Obviously, people have different tolerances at the moment, and understandably so. But it may mean showing hospitality to those who cannot show it back by opening our homes to them. When was the last time we cooked a meal for someone or some people who didn't share the same class or nationality or skin color as us? When was the last time that happened in your life? If you love Jesus, call Enfield Town your home. When was the last time we did that? Look, we can't do this in our own strength. We can try hard and we'll fail. We need the gospel to motivate us, to drive us forward. We need to think those gospel truths about other people that we think of ourselves. We deserve judgment, but we're saved by Jesus and loved by the Father, just like me. And we need to remember the Savior that we follow, who did not say, I don't want to go down there. Who did not say, they're too low for me. Did not say, they're too different from me. Said, I love them, and I'm going to go down and die for them and bring them into my heavenly family. And one day, we're going to be reunited in a new heaven and the new earth. We need to remember that Jesus was the big deal. He was the somebody, and he left it all behind to save us. And that's going to change us. If we really think about that, that will change us. So our gospel thinking will change our gospel living. So how are we as a church going to respond to this this one another command, this live in harmony with one another that our Heavenly Father has given to us this morning? How are we going to respond as a church? Will we easily forget it? Will we ignore it? Well, we think the sermon is for someone else, but it's not for me. I wish that other person was here in church. They really need to hear that sermon. No, we need to hear this sermon. I need to hear this sermon. Or will we think those gospel truths about other people who are different to us and allow the gospel to motivate us to love, to live in harmony, to not to be too proud to associate with people who don't give us anything back? Our Heavenly Father wants us to live in harmony with one another and associate people who are different. So let's pray so that he gives us the heart that we want to change and that we want to obey him. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the signs of grace we see here at Enfield Town Community Church. We thank you for the work of the Spirit in brothers and sisters in Christ who are taking those steps to reach out to those who are different from them. Father, just thank you that they are small pictures of the Lord Jesus, and we praise you and thank you for working on us in those ways. But Father, we're aware that we're still so far short of where you want us to be. Father, forgive us. But Father, don't leave us where we are. Please change us and transform us. Help us to long to live in harmony with one another. And Father, please keep us from trying to change based on our own effort. Father, rather than motivate this change by using the gospel, humble us as we reflect on how Jesus humbled himself and came to this earth for people of low position like us. Father, we pray that this time next year we would be growing and have grown in living in harmony with one another. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to respond to what we've heard together by singing a song, Oh.